What's going on, Paisanos? V here. I been a while since I made a my podcast, and I'm glad I actually start getting back into the shape of things. I actually might change some things for the podcast, like the layout and stuff like that. I finally got my microphone in, so hopefully you guys are hearing me sound nice and crisp. That's my goal, that's my hope, so we could communicate better. Little known fact about me, years ago when I would do my videos, I would talk really fast because I naturally talk really fast, and it took a very long while for me to learn how to how to talk and formulate my opinions properly without getting too excited and just shotgunning them all to you. So hopefully this microphone allows me to not only do that clearly to you guys, but also allows you to hear me without any slurs my word, which, like I said, I used to really have a really bad speech problem growing up. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is the Creator Card project. There's a lot of things we have to talk about today, by the way. But the number one thing is definitely going to be the Creator Card project. And what I want to know is, are we going to pretend like this is actually a contest? Or are we just going to accept the new winner, which is going to be Lightsworn? Like, not for nothing to everybody else that's really behind a lot of these decks. I mean, we got Xsabers, we got Swap Frog, Paleofragus, the Dot Deck, Inzectors, all this cool stuff. But Lightsworn is gonna win. Like, does anyone think it's not gonna happen? It just, I don't know, it's crazy to me. Like, if Konami won a contest, why would you put the winner of the structured deck contest in a contest with other archetypes? Wouldn't you just go, okay, Lightsworn's already run the structure deck. This is why Shadows aren't in here. This is why I'm not shocked to see Shadows in here. I am kind of shocked to see Photons over Mermails. But then again, ultimately, even when I made a video about this, I said Lightsworn is going to win. It will be Lightsworn versus Mermails, and then Lightsworn win. I'm actually shocked that Photons beat Mermails, being the fact that you don't see many Photon players. But it's cool, I guess. I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. We once again, Lightsworn is gonna be donking on everybody, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe one of these other archetypes win. But realistically speaking, historically speaking, Lightsworn has won already. So, congratulations to Lightsworn. Everyone could argue, everyone could debate on these little matches between what would beat what, and in the end of the day, Lightsworn wins. Thanks, Konami. You really should have not have put them in there. Recently, Fortunate Ladies beat Hazy Flame. Cool. Who cares? I used to be a huge fan of wrestling. I still like wrestling a lot, by the way, but really like live and breathe wrestling. And when it was like a corny match, you didn't care who won or lost. You just cared for it to be over so the event can conclude to the real matches. And I think with a lot of us players is we're seeing like Lightsworn versus Hazy Flame, all these goofy things. And I mean, listen. It had what? Over 13,000 votes. That's a lot of votes. But realistically speaking, Lightsworn's gonna have like whatever matchup Lightsworn has is going to trounce its competition. So once again, yay, congratulations to Lightsworn. You win again. I mean, it's just crazy that Konami put him in here. Like, gee, should we put Lightsworn in there? They want our structure deck thing. Yeah, let's do that. What about Shadows? No. They want our structure deck thing. Oh, right, yeah, don't do that. What are you doing? There's been a lot of crazy things happening the past, what, 24 to 72 hours, I guess is, the right way to do it. I've been having some issues with other content creators. I think the major thing that I did, and hopefully people recognize this, I separated myself from other MarketWatch content creators. I already was doing it as a content creator while my pictures were being taken, but I further separated myself from them by making a video recently. And you go to the channel, and the whole thing's broken down there. You can check all their videos, all that stuff. If you want to go on YouTube journey, by all means, go ahead. I'm not going to rehash it here on this podcast. I just wanted to just really emphasize the fact that there's some content creators in this community. I think on the if I had to say a number. Probably the third top viewed content creator that does specifically market watches. If we want to include MSTTV in there, I guess you can, sure. I've never seen his stuff. I've never seen any of their stuff, so only when it's brought to my attention. Technicality effect. Anyway, So, but there's two of them that, like I said, I just basically just pushed aside, just showed everybody, hey, this is what they're doing. I'm pushing aside. I'm just gonna move ahead. And I'll be honest with you guys. When I made that video, I did not think I would get this amount of people having my back, because these are one of the two biggest content creators on the platform from Yu-Gi-Oh. And I just walked on them, and I said, okay, there's no, the minute I upload the video, I go, this is gonna suck, but I'm not gonna hold my tongue anymore. I've been ousted for something I didn't even, you know, something that wasn't even the reality situation. So it's time to go in and let everybody know exactly where I stand and exactly what I'm looking at and exactly what I was doing. So that's basically the long and short of it. I'm not gonna really go into it anymore. I mean, this has been dragged along, and I'm trying to work on some other things, but listen, that's basically what it is. I want to work on skit videos for my YouTube channel. And I know you aren't listening to me on a podcast, but think about it. It'd be really fun to have another element added to the channel. And I'm really actually working. I'm working on that for a while, actually, getting everything ready. So I do things. I just don't want to do things just at the spur of the moment. You can, and there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. But I'm a really meticulous person in how I want to create something. And I get really nervous. And it's weird because I get nervous, but if it gets a lot of dislikes, I just go whatever. And you know, but when I do it, I want to do it right. Yeah, it's so weird, man, because a long time ago when I started YouTube, I didn't care what I did or what I said. And not that I still don't care in that way, but whenever I approach something, I approach it from more angles. And whenever I view something, I want and form an opinion, I want to make sure I got as much information as possible. And I used to not do that. I'll be honest with you. I used to not do that and get caught off for it constantly and just ignore it. But yeah, no, it's something that's really definitely changed in me. And I guess YouTube, it's really changed in me. So, I mean, it's crazy, man. I'll be honest. Like I said, the game has changed me in more ways than I can imagine. Look at the balance. I think we're all kind of having the same kind of feeling about the balance as far as like when, not a question of why or if. I think, okay, so about a week or two ago, everybody was like, okay, the balance is gonna not really happen. It's just not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. And I think the realization for a lot of people was after September 1st rolled around, you guys are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You gave us two crappy balance on the date. And now you're taking more time? What's happening here? And I think what is happening here is Konami's actually working on it. Because this is, let's not get it mistaken, Paisanos. This is going to be a monumentally huge ballast. I really do believe that. Historically, this might be the biggest ballast we've ever seen. I've said that time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. But I'm not joking around when I mean this. I mean, we're going to see some pretty crazy changes, you know? We're gonna see some pretty radical movements on the banless, the limitless, the semi-limitless. Like, we're gonna see this. And yeah, in the past we've seen some crazy things in the banless, sure. But this is going to be, I think, bigger than what we ever expected. I think this catch a lot of people off guard. I think a lot of people are not gonna be prepared. And listen, this is why I do my videos, this is why I do my market watches. I want you to be braced for whatever comes out. I want to break it down to you. I want to give you the ideology of why a card should be on the ban list or why a card should not be on the ban list. And then we gotta turn around and go, okay, let's say we take a random card. And I always go on Maxi because that's the easiest one. It's a hotly debated card, which is ridiculous. But let's say I go, what a Maxi 1-3. Then we gotta evaluate it. Let's say Konami had the ban list, boom, Maxi is 3. Now we have to evaluate that situation. Okay? Mentally, let's work on it. What happened in the market? What happened to the player base? What happened to your deck? What happened to all the meta decks? And let's break that down. And the reason I want to do that is because I want everyone to have that understanding of this can happen. I want everyone to have the understanding of this won't break the game. Because if it breaks the game, we don't want those, obviously. That's why we have a ban list. If there's certain cards on there that will really break the game, then we just cannot allow it. But for the most part, a lot of the cards on the ban list, I did a video not long ago about cards that are limited. And if they can or cannot come off the ban list. And believe it or not, I was shocked while I was recording the video. Because I was like, wow, some of these cards really could come to 3 and do nothing for the game, but add more flavor for the players that want to enjoy those decks. Not necessarily make those players play at a tier 1 level, at best maybe 1.5, but that's realistically it. For anyone that's wondering, tier 1 is decks that have, you know, the best decks in the game are normally tier 1. Tier 0 obviously is decks that are just broken, beyond broken. And 1.5 are decks that aren't the best decks in the game, but they're still good. And if you're playing a tier 1.5 deck right now, just know you can't beat a tier 1 deck. The question is, can you beat all the tier 1 decks? Whereas the tier 1 decks are kind of designed to do that and designed to adapt and stuff and so on and so forth. But yeah, going back to the bans, that's why I do when I do my videos. I want to really break down this kind of barrier that we have as far as the bans. Because Yu-Gi-Oh players, for the most part, in my long years of experience in this game, they hate change. If Konami changes anything, Yu-Gi-Oh players go crazy. And with the nuance of more technology, faster communication, Yu-Gi-Oh players get news instantly. And they go so crazy over it. I mean, rightfully so. If everything's going good and you're with your girl and you're having a good time and you're feeling great, and she goes, "I gotta tell you something." The last thing you want to hear is "I gotta tell you something" and anything. The relationship between us, the players, and Konami is the same thing. Everything's going good. We're having a good time. We're playing our decks. And Konami goes, "Oh no, I gotta tell you something. Maxi to 3 need a 5 ban." And you're like, whoa. Everything was going cool. Why you gotta change things? That's literally the game. And then everyone goes crazy. Everyone yells. People threaten to leave the game. Of course, this doesn't happen for the most part. And then everyone comes back together. And then we go, this is the reality of the situation. Let's hit it full power. And that's what the mentality of the player base is. And it's going to happen all the time, by the way. I just said something that you will see constantly as long as new things come in. The only time Yu-Gi-Oh players will not care too much if a new set is introduced, because they can always rectify that with money. They cannot rectify a ban list with its scissors and choices. And there have been some bad ban lists in this game that even I was like, what are you doing, Konami? But it is what it is. You can argue with it. You can yell it. At the end of the day, you have to deal with it. We all have to deal with it. And I do think that Konami is working really hard right now. I think, by the way, how the ban is formulated, in case anyone doesn't know already, what happens is Konami TCG here in the United States, in California specifically, create a ban list, okay? Now, you would think at that point, okay, then they just publish it online. No, that's not how it works. I'm not sure if Europe has anything to say in that at all. I'm not sure if South America has anything to say with it. Last I was informed, which is about 2-3 years ago, that Konami TCG creates a ban list. Then Konami TCG takes that ban list and emails it over to Konami OCG, who then reviews the ban list. And then Konami OCG sends their revised ban list, or cards they want on it, or cards they want off it, back to the TCG. And then we enter a negotiation in which the TCG and the OCG both now have to come at each other. They're basically going, well, if you get Maxi to 3, fine, we'll let you have Maxi to 3, but Happy Feather Duster, we don't want off this year because, come on, I mean, Maxi's already big enough. We don't want Happy Feather. And there'll be kind of a back and forth. Ultimately, Konami OCG is the head honcho, but TCG has that little bit of a wiggle room, and they try to work it as best as possible to create, and they do. I'll be honest with you. As from all the Konami employees I have spoken to, they work really hard to try to create the best balanced ban list. Forget about last ban list. That never happened. The best balanced ban list. Forget about the ban list two bans ago. That was a mistake. Things were crazy, boys. It was crazy times. But right now, they try to formulate the best and most balanced ban list. 3Bs. And they do. They really do. I mean, it's them trying to, obviously they want to sell product, and obviously OCG wants you to buy product, but they want to create a ban so everyone can have access into the game. The days of the old trainee formats, the 3 decks are the best decks, and these team 1.5 is a cute format, those are probably gone. I mean, it's been a while since we even spoken the word trainee format. Technically you can look at this meta right now and you can say, well, V, this is the trainee format, but it's really not. I mean, yes, we got, let's just shotgun a couple of decks, okay? Infer Nobles, we have Elric, we have Rocks, and Emancipator. And then you go, well, that's it, V, we're done. Hold on, wait a minute. There's different variations of those decks. There's not just, besides, I think Infer Nobles, which basically has one shotgun combo, which I think will evolve once the ban list happens. There's variations of Elric, and there were variations of Emancipators. But let's not forget Rocket Dragons, which, I mean, it still has an FTK, by the way. I'm not sure if everyone forgot about this. Rocket Dragons can still FTK you. That's a real thing. As well as the fact that not only can Rocket Dragons still FTK you, but we're also seeing a lot of other decks just win events. A lot of... So, I mean, and this is what Konami Kishi wants. They want to see the most diverse format. And their explanation to the OCG is, hey, man, listen. We'll sell you product, but you gotta let us have that wiggle room. You gotta let us, you know, add more decks onto the tier meta. In the OCG, you really don't see it as much. Could it be there? Maybe, I guess. But, I mean, look at recently what's happening in OCG. Prank kids are crapping on everything. I mean, everywhere I look around, I'm just seeing prank it, smack everything. Maybe there's other decks, I guess, but there's so many prank it deck list. It's absolutely insane. And the thing is, like, once again, there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more of, maybe more decks coming out of the OCG, so they might actually create their meta. But here in CG, we have a super diverse meta, and it works for everybody. And you got players that aren't really complaining. I mean, yeah, hero players obviously want more cards, but they always want more cards. But here, even hero players are like, yo, I'll play a meta right now. All dance players are like, hey, I'm good to go. You know? All these players, all these duelists are just playing whatever. You got Yuga players getting ready for Dragoonies. They're excited. So, once again, like I said, back when it was the Trinity meta, there was a 3 top tier 1 decks, a couple of 1.5s, and that was your meta. Have fun. Enjoy. Leave me alone. And now we're seeing not that. We're seeing so much more players have a stake into the game, which is great, by the way. Even Necros. Necros is like, dude, we could fight in Yu-Gi-Oh! Too. Like, we're good, too. We could beat tier 1 decks. How about that? Necros. You see other decks like Megaliths. So there's so much happening right now. And that's what I'm trying to get at with you guys. There's so much happening right now with all these cards, all these decks, and Konami does not want to, I think, once again, this is me theorizing, Konami doesn't want to mess up the flow of what that is. They want to have diverse decks. The OCG, well, obviously, they want to have diverse decks. They want to make money. They don't care. Like if the Konami balance was nothing, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Was deleted, but somebody still got to have money, they'd be like, screw it, we're good. They don't really care, I'll be honest. But looking at here in the TCG, they know what we need, and they know what we want to in order for us to spend money in this game. Even Unchained's doing things. Actually, I'm waiting for the rest of Unchained to come in the mail. I actually want to build Unchained. That deck looks really fun. Konami wants a diverse meta. Mine is Salamangre players. I'm sorry, Salamangre players. I'm so sorry. I personally don't like Salamangre as a deck, even though I kind of play it, whatever. I really don't. I think the deck's like super corny. But like, man, Konami, Salamangre players and Pendulum players need to work on like an alcohol anonymous, but not without the alcohol problems. That group, in which they just sit around, they talk about all the fun things they did. They talk about how they almost won a tournament, but their deck was so heavily limited, they just came in like 9th place at an 8-man tournament. Like, it's bad, man. I feel bad for those players because, man, Konami, what are you doing? Anyway, I think there is a lot of opportunity for a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh players right now. A lot of opportunity in the secondary market, which also is being... we gotta watch that carefully, Paisanos. I'll be honest with you. We gotta look at that secondary market, and we really gotta guard this. It can get out of hand. The Magic the Gathering market, everyone goes, oh, it's such a good market, so plentiful. That market is out of hand. I don't want the Yu-Gi-Oh market to become the Magic the Gathering market. We have a hefty amount of reprints, but somehow we have a stabilized market, whereas Magic the Gathering has cards that are so much money because they haven't reprinted the old cards, but then when they started reprinting some of the reserved cards, then players went nuts because they wanted to be a lot of money because they're hard to get. Like, that mentality is so weird. If Konami reprinted Ghost Rare Star's Dragon, I'd be upset, but I would understand why. I would go, there's new players in this game that are not willing to spend almost $1,000 on a dual chance card. I'm totally fine with that. I don't like it. It sucks. But I was always have the original, which is cool. But you got to understand that this is something for the newer players. We want to promote the game to newer players. Give them an opportunity to not only invest in the game as a competitive player, casual player, but also a collector. So, I mean, the secondary market needs to be guarded as much as possible. We need to go and call out buyouts. We need to go and make everybody aware. When I do my videos, I talk about what has great potential. When I do my videos, I talk about what I think you should sell. And this is all what I think. This is all my theory. In fact, you go to the description in this video. on my video. On the bottom, it literally says you have to buy a card. I make a suggestion, but you never ever, in any circumstance, have to really buy a card. I think you should, but if I think you should, does not necessarily mean you have to buy a card whatsoever. I'm just, only thing I really realistically say is, hey man, in that description, you don't have to buy a card. There's a bunch of links to my Twitch, my Facebook, all this stuff in case you want to connect, my Instagram, all this stuff. But ultimately, you don't have to spend a penny. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I think people should do, and then we're going to keep going. And hey, I'll tell you right now, and this is why I really, 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 really want to, I throw myself out there when I do my picks, and I really break it down. Because if I'm wrong, I'm totally fine with being wrong. And if I'm right, I'm okay with that as well. But it gives me kind of a credit with you. I like to think of it this way. So, you know, you go outside, you got a guy, he goes, hey man, we started your car last night. I just want to say that your something was wrong in your engine. I believe, I don't know, I'm really, it's been a while since I've worked on my car, to be honest with you guys. We'll say your starter is going, and you're like, okay, thanks, Bill. And then you hop in your car, you drive, you start going down the road. And then next thing you know, you go to work, you go, you come out for lunch. You ever heard that noise when your starter dies? It goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the minute you hear it, you go, oh no, please let it be the battery. Please let it be the battery. Battery can be jumped. I'm good to go. Little fun fact about that, by the way. If you hit the starter itself, after the starter first goes, there's a chance it can start up again. But you really need to replace it. Anyway, so then your starter goes. Boom. It's gone. You go, okay, you get the starter replaced. Had to get it towed. What a pain. Next day, you start your car. Your guy walks up to you. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Give you a heads up. Listen, I know you replaced your starter. And you're like, what the fuck? Just want to let you know you replaced your starter. And also, I just want to let you know that exhaust is going on you, man. Hop in your car, you drive down the road, exhaust goes, and you're like, what the fuck? And that guy, so by the third time you go outside and you start your car, you're just looking at him like, what we got here, bro? Tell me what's wrong with my hoopty. And then he goes, hey, and you go, yes. And you're not questioning him. You're not giving him weird looks anymore. You're waiting to hear what he has to say, because it can obviously save you. And that's what I'm trying to do with the market, basically. That was a long analogy. I apologize. But that's what I'm trying to do with the market, basically. I'm trying to go, listen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And obviously, use it against me. But the amount of times I'm right, I feel like a way astronomically higher than the times I'm even wrong. I think so. And I would love to prove it to everybody when I do my videos. But yeah, man. Sorry about that long analogy. That analogy was so long. What? I made up. By the way, I'm doing all this on the fly. I don't have any paperwork. I didn't really written everything down. Every time I do these podcasts, I just hit record and I go, hey guys, and then we just go into Yu-Gi-Oh. So I do apologize about that. But yeah, I try to earn the respect and the ears of people whenever I talk about the market. I feel like I'm very confident in the market. I feel like I know a lot about the game. I've been around since the game came out. And I really want to give you guys what I'm seeing, what I'm understanding. And I really want you to understand, at least at the very end, whether agree or disagree, you can at least go, well, V says X about a card, but here's why I came to this conclusion. Because I want you to have that. I want you to have that skill of hearing something from both ends, and then you formulating your own opinion. You can use it for anything in life. Anything. Don't be the go with the flow guy. Everyone says, oh, yeah, you think Maxi's coming with the Bears? Or her, der. And you're sitting there going, okay, I guess I'll just follow what they say, because that one guy talking about Maxi's getting dunked on. No. Say, why do you think Maxi's good? Look at him. Talk to him. Get out there. Do with everything. Because between the two sides, there's bullshit and the truth. And work towards that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand what's happening with a lot of people. I mean, obviously people are more and more, especially in this game, are starting to realize, wait a minute. Maybe there's a possible chance of, not just Maxi, obviously. I like to love that, throwing that card's name around. But other cards, and let's look into that. Let's figure that out. There's more and more that happening, which is great. Because maybe a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, I would even say, what we saw was a bunch of people in the community just going, what do we all got to deal today? What do we all got to think about? And just follow the herd. And listen, man, let me tell you, like, my whole life, dude, I've been getting crapped on for formulating my own opinion. And in the game of Yu-Gi-Oh, I began crapped on for saying what I want to say. But at the end of the day, I explained why I came to my conclusion. I think it's important. That's a life lesson. I don't know why I'm giving you guys life lessons, but here into the marketing of Yu-Gi-Oh. That's a lesson. I really want you guys to understand that because I think it's important for you to understand that. Going with the flow is so lame. What does it do? What does it teach you? Nothing. If you be quiet and say what everyone says, you won't get dunked on? Who cares? In this community, Yu-Gi-Oh is a one-player game. Obviously, you need two people to play against, but from where you're sitting, when you have your deck in front of you, it's you. You're the one player, okay? And you want to make sure you do the best for you, whether it's your collection, whether it's your deck. You do you, boo-boo. My mother used to say, he yells at my stepfather, I don't care, you do you, boo-boo. And he's like, what does that even mean? And he walks away. Listen, I think there is so much in this game that people can work on, whether it's their collection or the meta decks. And not really realistically paying a lot of money. The reason I started looking into the market heavily was not to vend. Was not to sell anything. It was so I can spend less money on expensive cards in the game of Yu-Gi-Oh! And I think everybody has a mentality. And more, every single day, that mentality grows. About, hey man, I want to have 3 Triple Tactics Talents. I want to have 3 Forbidden Droplet. Hell, I would like to have an even Prismatic Rare. How do I get there? And they look at their wallet and they go, I got bills, bro. I don't got time for this. Or I don't got a job. I don't got time for this. What am I going to do? And then they look at a pile of cards and go, can that get me there? And in certain instances, it really can. Or by trading, there's a pathway for you to get there. There's that old, was it homage, I believe? You get a paperclip, you trade a paperclip up, you could trade up or whatever. And you can realistically do that in Yu-Gi-Oh! You can do that. You know, it's a realistic situation. I've done it many times. Well, back when trading was more popular, it was definitely easier, but selling online is also easy as well because now your every single one of your cards has a number. And when you look at that card, you look at that number, you have to minus it by the shipping and the TCG player fees or eBay PayPal fees. But for the most part, you can take that number and go, okay, that's X number, throw it onto the market, get rid of it. And then boom, I mean, you can save a TCG player for store credit, which means you'll be able to put that money towards the deck, or you can go on your bank account. I personally like to do store credit, but either way, it's preference at that point. But you can do that. And what that would do when a new set comes out, a new deck comes out, and your friends are going, man, it's so expensive. You can go, you know what? Click, I got it. Because you built that up. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Well, depending on how good your collection is. But more than likely, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen a week from now. It'll take time. But if you want that expensive deck, you can get it. And by following the market, by really hitting that market hard, you can get all the decks you want. Hell, there's people that buy and sell on TCG Player that just vend from there directly. They skip you physically, the middleman. They go online and go, you know what? That card is like 10 cents. Or that card's a dollar. I'll just get 100 of those. Investment is a gamble, obviously. But if you look at a card like, let's say, Crackdown, at one point it was $2, it's slowly rising, by the way, and Crackdown's roughly around almost near $4. This card is my pick for the most money card out of 2020 Megatons. I think this card is huge. I think any that says take control of a monster and your opponent's side of the field in this game has been severely hit. And in order for us, and then we have a trap that does it at 3? Imagine Konami goes, all right, you can have 3 mind control. Oh, we had that, actually. How did that go? It's limited. Crackdown is like mind control. It's insane. I think it's a little bit more of a nerf version of mind control. I mean, obviously, Crackdown leaves the field, whereas mind control, you activate it. I get it. But still, a phenomenal card. I take your monster, dot card. If this card's not on the balance, this card's only going to rise more in the market. And you can do that with a lot of cards. And you don't need to put even a lot of money in. I said you could buy 100 crackdowns or use your store credit to buy like 20 crackdowns. And as time goes on and as the card rises, let's say it does rise. I think it is going to, unless it's hit by the balance, which definitely changed it. But let's say it does, you know, does rise. It's like a stock. Your value now grows. Your store credit increases. And that's what you want. Right? I mean, don't you want to not spend a crazy amount of money in cards? Or even make money? And that's basically what I'm here for. So stick around. I'd greatly appreciate you guys do that. Thank you so much to everybody listening to this podcast. I'm definitely looking forward to making more of these. You Paisanos have a great day.